A senior British cabinet official says Prime Minister David Cameron will use the fallout from England's riots to push through social reforms. Work and Pension Secretary Ian Duncan Smith said in an interview published Thursday that four nights of looting and violence last week had served as a warning to the government. The Centre for Social Justice, a think tank founded by Duncan Smith, has said this is no time for half measures as the country recovers from the riots. Christian Guy, director of policy for Centre, spoke to Charles Collins about what needs to be done.
What was so shocking about the riots was that they came, in many people's eyes, from nowhere. And they were, in the thoughts of many, they were sort of random. But we would say that there was a lack of surprise in us from some, in some senses, because we've been looking for years now at sections of society that have become, we would say, broken off, detached from the rest of society. These huge social housing estates where people are living in chaotic homes, where families are breaking down, where there's violence and abuse behind the front door, where there are schools in which people are just achieving nothing, and young people aren't being given the opportunities to broaden their horizons and improve their aspirations. They have as much chaos in school as they do at home in some cases, and those schools aren't delivering on the chance that they have to sort of improve social mobility in the UK. Those two things, as well as a dependency culture in the welfare system, and how we in the UK have a welfare system that really traps people in poverty, because at the moment you're paid more through state benefits than if you choose to try and work. So it doesn't pay you to take a job. So these young people are growing up in chaotic homes, chaotic schools, where boundaries and behaviour isn't really discussed or enforced, and they see nobody going out to work. I mean, we've got 2 million children are growing up in workless households, and the number of workless households has doubled in the last sort of 13 years here. So this is the culture in which some of these young people who are on the streets have known, and the anarchy that they've got at home and in their street, in their communities, is sort of playing out, or was, as we saw on the streets of the UK. There was no sense that that they were behaving any differently. Some of them felt this is the way you carry on.
While watching some of the news programs, they would sometimes interview some of the youths that were involved in the rioting. There seemed to be no political motivation. People were saying, we're going to get free stuff, and no one seems to be stopping us. Do you think that there's maybe too much thinking about a political motivation for some of the rioters?
I do. I think there was zero political motivation. I don't think it was a protest about an issue that got out of hand. This was a peaceful protest initially by a family in a community who had lost a man who'd been shot by the police, Mark Duggan, and it was hijacked then by people who wanted to cause trouble, and every time they pushed, there was no resistance coming back from the police or from the wider agencies. So they just kept pushing and pushing and pushing, and as you say, they just thought, what can we get away with? And they saw, they were staring down the street at police officers who were just watching them, and they got away with it for several days, and it just escalated. So I think there was no sort of intellectual basis to it at all, or no political point scoring to it at all. And the interesting thing about some of those interviews that you mentioned with the young people who were on the streets, often the question would be, why are you doing this to your community? And another question would be, what happens when you get home? And the answer to the first one was, this isn't my community. I feel no sense of belonging here. I don't know what it means for businesses to have their shops destroyed or their sort of practices closed down. And in terms of what happens at home, they said, nothing will happen to me at home. My parents, some of them said, they don't know where I am. Others said, when they find out, I'll get this a bit of a telling off, but what can my parents do? So it just revealed something about the culture that these people are living in. And I thought that was fascinating.
You mentioned a lot of these cultural factors. What can the government do, and what can't the government do to help solve some of these problems?
Yeah, great question. I think that there are things the government can take a lead on and give a steer on. So I think the government has to set a political priority, as it's doing actually, and the Prime Minister talking a lot about mending this sort of section that's broken off from the rest of society and fixing it. That has to become a political priority, and it has to deal with the root causes, because you've got the debate about policing and the tactics they used, and that's a debate about short-term controlling the streets, important. We have to, though, look at, as I sort of hinted at, things like the breakdown of families, failure in schools, welfare system, debt, addiction, drugs, street gangs. Those are the sorts of issues that the politicians need to do and the government needs to take a lead on. But what it mustn't do is fall into the trap of thinking it has all the answers and it can do the work of delivery. The government needs to lead and facilitate, but then we need to bring in the people who are best suited to this, which is charities, faith groups, social entrepreneurs, the private sector where possible. They often have the solutions. Wherever we've gone, in the UK, in the most deprived areas, and wherever we found this sense of culture of desperation and dependency, it's been charities in the main who have been able to turn things around. And it has to become about changing lives. You can't just lock people up. You can't put them in. You can't arrest them. You can't just lock them up. You can't just put them in prison. You have to also look at the underlying causes of what's going on in terms of their behavior. That's about changing lives, and the charities and those I just mentioned are a much better place in government. So this isn't about growing the state and more state intervention. It has to be about leadership, culture change in government, and then releasing those who are best able to make the change to go and do their work.
You mentioned faith groups. What role do religious leaders of all faiths have to play in helping the culture? And what can government do to help facilitate faith leaders in helping heal the culture?
I think faith leaders have a hugely significant role to play. People are at the moment, it seems, looking to those charities, those groups who understand what it means to change lives, whether it's taking someone off drugs, whether it's helping families stay together or mentoring young people who are struggling at school. Everywhere we go, often it's churches, it's other organizations who are doing that brilliant work. They've got a concern for those who are in deprived areas, and they're interested in changing lives. So I think churches have a really important role to play, and here we've got a debate about how you build a big society. The Prime Minister talks about his big society idea. Within that, integral to that, is the faith community. So I think, it's about recognizing partly that they're best placed, and it's about them stepping up and saying, we've got part of the solution here. In terms of what the government can do, well, I think partly it's cultural. I think we have to get away from this idea that there's a suspicion about faith groups. We've always said in the work we've done that they're often the best placed to make the difference because they just care about people and they understand it's about transformation. So it's I think about creating a level playing field for faith groups that means they can compete for public money, that they are, as I say, not seen as suspicious but are released to do their work, and that we get serious about outcomes for people. And if we're serious about outcomes and about changing lives, it shouldn't matter who's best placed or what they, in a sense, believe within reason about people and about the world. They should be released to go and do their job. So the government is, I think, with the change of government, we've seen a slight change in culture that recognizes perhaps more passionately the role of faith groups in society. And I think I'm quite optimistic about the role they have to play over the next few years as Britain responds and looks to build a social recovery, a societal recovery. We've got a lot of talk about an economic recovery, and Britain needs to sort its economy out. But we also need that sense that society needs to change and we need a social recovery too. And faith groups have got a really big role to play.